Today's reading is from Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23, the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came down up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who will produce a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord.
The parable of the sower. This is the kingdom parable section of the scriptures. As we head into our next weeks, we have all these kingdom parables, and Jesus uses contexts and illustrations that they will relate to and be able to remember. For some who hear it, it just won't make sense. And yet for others, it will be a journey of discovery of God's love, acceptance and blessing into each one of their lives. You know, I love my gardens, I love my veggies and my flowers and my shrubs and my plants, and different seasons for different seeds. But can I just tell you that the soil prep is important? And for those of you who don't know, there's a wonderful plant called a hydrangea, and sometimes we look at them and they have purple flowers and sometimes they have pink. Do you know what the difference is? The soil acidity. The more acidic it is, the stronger the pink colour. The more alkaline it is, the stronger the blue colour. Strange, but true. But also, soil prep is really important for our veggie gardens. You know, one year I killed a whole heap of stuff because I was putting blood and bone on everything just after it had germinated. Didn't like it. Blood and bone best goes on, I found out later, 2 weeks before everything else, and before you actually plant seeds, because then it sits in the soil and it stabilizes. Nothing will grow though, nothing apart from weeds will grow if you don't plant anything. Nothing grows if you don't plant anything. So today we're going to look at a sower, and the role of the sower is not just to scatter the seeds, but to prepare the soil. But if the sower just prepares the soil and never ever scatters seed, for what purpose is he called a sower? I love to see the word of God portrayed in people's lives. I really do. You know, people who live out their faith and make it real inspire me in my walk with Jesus as well. You can see a difference in these people in some of the issues that really matter. Whether it's compassion, justice, not being selfish, in encouragement and not judgmental. People who just have this wonderful presence about them. I refer to some of the older members of my congregation as the ballast of the church. So when the church has been through tough seasons, they're the ones who've prayed the ship back up again. They've prayed it back up because it's been battered by those winds that have pushed it over. But when I see Christians, I wonder why when we have all these really good Christians around, I wonder why everyone else is not a Christian. There's some great testimonies and lived out faith, and it actually should see many people just turn to Christ. But is our view only from the Christian side of the fence? You know, what would cause people to respond to a gospel even if all the Christians are really nice and really just people? Well, let's go back to the garden. You can give it a weeding, you can prep the soil, but if no seed is planted, nothing will grow. So what plants a seed? Well, God. But let's not say, well then, shall we step back and do nothing and just expect the wonderful lives filled with a fruitful change that's going to happen all around us because God's just going to do amazing stuff? No. As I've pointed out over the last couple of weeks, we are in partnership with God's Holy Spirit. We're in partnership. God doesn't sit there and say, hey, I'll do this in spite of you. God actually wants to do stuff with us and through us and because of the testimony of our lives. Your life is a testimony as you understand and see what God's place for you in this world is all about. And not only that, all the people who are wondering whether God is real are watching you. They're watching you. They want to see that God is real in your life as well. Not just in what your words say, not just in some good action, but also in those good actions as well. The good lifestyle choices, in your attitude, in your compassion. You know, soil prep sounds like a simple thing to do. And it sounds simple, but there's no fixed formula because different plants require different soils. The seeds may vary, you know, the seed that we have of the gospel, the message, the message is the same message. However, the soil must be ready to receive that seed. The soil must be ready to receive the seed. And as a sower, you need to know what the soil needs. And I affectionately call this pre-evangelism. You know, if you just walk out onto a street corner out the front of my church and stand there and grab some random person who's walking by and say, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. On the whole, they're going to say, thanks, but no thanks. I don't know who you are. But if they actually know that you're a genuine, compassionate person who has a heart for the community, and if they've been in relationship with you for a period of, say, a year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever it is, then all of a sudden they might say, actually, I'm interested in who this Jesus is because I've seen how your life is, and maybe it's what I need in my life. Pre-evangelism. Did you know the church has not always shone gloriously as it reflects on God, hey? Let's face it. The church really hasn't shone gloriously in the past. And it's different seasons it's done this. You know, the time when slavery was acceptable, the time when it stood up and actually, in some churches, stood up and promoted Hitler. In other places, it stood up and promoted segregation in America and the Ku Klux Klan. Don't think that the church has always shone just badly in, say, the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years, because there's been seasons which it does shine badly. But there's been seasons of change and seasons where it shone well. It's true the church sometimes has covered up sin, what in the good name of the church and to protect God's good name. God doesn't need his name protected. Sometimes it's behaved very badly. And sometimes it was arrogant. Sometimes it became extraordinarily Puritan and moral police and just wanted to condemn everyone to the pit. The church sometimes wanted forgiveness, which is true. But it didn't want to forgive some people when their lives got messy. So it had this inequality of grace. So not everyone has a great view of God, especially those outside of the church. And it's really sad, because I think that it's the testimony of who we are. But there's no soil prep then. We need to actually prep the soil of those people's lives to believe that maybe the church has changed. Or here's the thing, maybe God has not changed, but maybe the people in the church are actually connected more to God and they're more interested in God than interested in politics or interested in the good name of the church or interested in cover-ups and interested in themselves and selfishness. Yes, we are all broken. I'm not going to deny the fact that I have brokenness and you have brokenness. We all have brokenness. But the church needs to come to a realization that the soil's very hard out there sometimes. The seed can fall into the wrong places and not do what we want it to do. What we want it to do. Oh, Lord have mercy. What if it's not about us? I know I've tried hard and got disheartened in the past, probably because I spent more time spreading seeds than prepping the soil. Oh, well, there's soils and there's seeds. For example, if a seed goes too deep, it rots. So if you prep the soil well and throw a seed and it goes way too deep, So we need to show love and care as we prep the soil for the seed. And that's by having genuine relationships with people. That is it, just genuine relationships. Not relationships that are disingenuine, relationships which say, I'm only going to be your friend so I convert you to Christianity. No, that's not a genuine relationship. I want to be your friend because I like being friends with you. And if you see God in me, then what a blessing. You know, we need to seek instructions from the great gardener of our souls, God himself. And I think we often forget that prayer is one of the greatest preppers of the soil. You may well be well versed in apologetics and arguments to use, but let's just start with the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's the spiritual roundup that we need to spray to get rid of the weeds to start with. Oh, my Lord. Or maybe it's the spiritual clay breaker that gets us through that junky soil so it can actually become good again. Or maybe it's the compost of I don't know. So what if it doesn't work? Well, firstly, be patient. Not all seeds germinate at the same pace. And sometimes the soil looks great, but actually it's not. It could be hiding a lot of nasties. I remember I had this ant colony who kept stealing all my seeds at one stage. Cheeky little things. I was there going, I'm planting all these seeds, but nothing. Oh, you're feeding the ants well, said one of my friends who's a great gardener. Feeding the ants. Didn't prep that one very well. The little nasties came along. And remember, the farmer plants in the right season. And this is to continue, and these seasons continue to come around. So you've got to know the right season to plant. Our job is to plant and pray that the seed is fruitful. And don't give up. It's a long-term process. Even a radish takes 6 weeks, brothers and sisters. And 6 weeks is a very long time in a garden. You know, and so if you look at your tomatoes that take 13 weeks or other plants like that, you sit there and say, oh, or fruit trees, which can take 9-12 months. Ah, you know, I got to tell you, one of my greatest gardening fails is big tomatoes. I can plant big tomatoes and do it year in, year out, get nothing. I fail. The compost from last year, seeds the garden that I've put on. And sometimes just old tomatoes that fell down from last year, and cherry tomatoes in particular, they've fallen down, their seeds are in the ground, and all of a sudden, whooshka, I have the greatest, richest crop of cherry tomatoes, yellow ones, red ones, and little baby romas that come up, and what do I plant? Nothing. But if I go and try and plant the big tomatoes, nothing. Oh, I get annoyed, I walk away, and I struggle to return each season and try in vain to plant big tomatoes. I've realized that maybe God has a message for me that big tomatoes are not my thing. But we should never think that this is about just one go and how the response is going and then moving on. See, that's not how love is. It's about being persistent in the right seasons, year in, year out. Being genuine and real in your life is the best soil prep that you can carry out. Unfortunately, some try and put on this super Christian persona. And mixed with Jesus talk, and honestly, you've sometimes just thrown seed on the path. Because you have this superficial actions and these words that just are just too big and flowery. You're not being real. And when you think about the message, and if you think that the message actually is just about numbers and converts, you've just missed the message altogether. It's about love, generosity, care, and concern. Our role is to prep the soil, to plant the seed, to nurture the seed, then to see the harvest, And we, however, are not the seed. The seed is the word of God. You may need to let that seed sit in the soil and that's prepared for the right moment to germinate. You know, it's a bit funny, isn't it? My little cherry tomatoes, that one crop goes at the year and I clear the whole garden off and I turn over all the soil and I get it ready for the next season. And then without doing anything, all of a sudden I see these shoots of growth coming through and I think, those cheeky little cherry tomatoes are growing again. And sometimes it's like that. Sometimes we don't even realise that the soil is prepped and ready and there's just these surprising shoots that come through. Germination is the interaction between the seed and God in the environment you have been involved in making just right. So God uses us to make the environment just right, and that's what is called ministry and mission. Our mission is and our command from God. You know, God does love to use us to show his love into the world and to be genuine in all that we do. He desires for us to be involved in reconciling others to him. True. And we have this wonderful role to play. And we all love to see the produce that comes at the end of it. And when was the last time you prepped the soil or sowed a seed? I can tell you there's nothing more exciting for me than seeing people who've come into a faith in Christ, who've come and actually started to discover, and you see them start to grow and blossom. And as they do, you sit there in awe and wonder. It's like, have you ever considered how one little seed, one tiny little seed, can produce a crop of 300 cherry tomatoes? That just baffles me, but it's just beautiful. It baffles me, but it's just beautiful. And in the same way, one tiny little seed into someone's life, that person can grow and flourish in such a way that it impacts the world, it impacts other lives around them in such a magnificent way. Timing is a good thing. And I've got to say this, my uncle was a farmer and down at Rand, and I would notice every time I go down there that a couple of the paddocks had no crops in them. And these were given a rest every 5, 6, or 7 years, depending on what they'd had in them, just to rest and to recover. I sometimes think that we may have bombarded in the past some people way too much. And so sometimes there is a season when we need to just have stopped and let that paddock rest. So if you've been persistently annoying someone, and I say that generously because sometimes we have annoyed people, for say 5 or 6 years, then give it a rest for a bit. But if you've given it a rest for a bit, then maybe it's time to check whether the soil is ready to have a seed. The four seed locations and Jesus' explanation is wonderful in this little parable. The path and the birds snatching it away. If that seed was cast onto prepped soil, not just thrown wherever it may fall, it would have possibly gone well. And we must sow where the ground is prepared. And maybe their hearts are like footpaths after being walked over by good, well-meaning Christians too many times. Just a thought, that could be the footpath. The rocky ground, well, again, it does not survive due to its shallowness. And the roots of a relationship often for young Christians and their lifestyles, you know, they start to grow and then all of a sudden, And then they look at other Christians around them. And we Christians can say some great words, but live some very poor lives. And there are some people who come into the faith who just look around and go, is this really true? You know, the problem was not their sudden choice to be a Christian. Oh, no, no, no. In fact, there's been some magnificent people who've made sudden choices to become Christians. It's the lack of depth in knowing more about faith and being discipled well. That is the rocky ground, not discipling, not having deep enough soil that's going to nourish. The thorns, well, make sure when you're sowing, you're not casting seed into the seeds of fake faith in there. Because remember, cast the seeds of faith in Christ, not denominational stuff or religious practices or religious programs. I actually think they're the thorns that grow up around it. Yeah, what did the farmhand say? Did you put those thorns in there? That's in another parable we're going to come up to. Did you actually do that? No, I didn't. But sometimes we accidentally throw the wrong seeds in there. The soil is fertile. It's the other things in there that become the problem. And they've usually gone in at the same time as when the seeds have been planted. The good soil, well, these, when we see real Christians living a real life in a real world and sowing into others' lives in a way that causes them to seek Christ as well, well, the rich soil is prepped and it's ready to go. And it gives us the fruit of 100, 60, 30, whatever it is, times what is sown. And these are the new shoots that come in and understand and are passionate about a call to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, to go and take the good news of Jesus to the world. And so, brothers and sisters, it would be very easy for me to make this sermon about how we need to look at... How about we just look at how the soil is prepared in our local community or your local community, wherever you've placed your feet. Maybe it's time to sow some seeds. You know, people in our society are restless for some good news at this time. A purpose in life and a gospel that we have offers exactly that. So if you've been prepping soil, then it's maybe a time to start scattering the seeds, brothers and sisters. Time to scatter those seeds. Boots on, seeds in hand, and time to sow. May you have a blessed week, and may you find that this parable speaks richly into the soil of your soul as well. Amen.